We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Join us. Today, Dr. Wilton is continuing in this final piece of the puzzle of God's timeline for the ages. This is the finale of the Daniel series. If you've missed part of this, know that you can find it online at tewonline.org. You can also grab resources there to share with a friend. All of that's online at tewonline.org. But as we wrap up this week, perhaps there's also a need in your life to have someone pray with you or for you. Why don't you give us a call? We'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or again, online at tewonline.org. And now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Why would God allow this to happen? Why would a God who's a God of grace allow such a terrible thing to happen? Let me share with you a number of potential reasons. And I've spoken about some of these, if you'd beg my pardon, and I'm just going to move on. Number one, the end of God's grace. How many parents? Are there any parents here tonight? Grandparents, would you just raise your hands, please? If I could just say this to the parents tonight, because I think you'll understand. You know when your son or daughter says, could I do this? And you say, no, I don't think so. And then they come back a minute later and say, don't you think I could do, please let me do this. Won't let me do this. Won't you do that? And you say, no, no, you're not doing that. And then eventually they say, but I've got to do that. Please, Dad, won't you let me do that? And you say, no, no, son, you cannot do that. And then they come back again 2 minutes later and they say, well, look, I spoke to Mommy. Can't I do that? Well, I don't care if you spoke to Mommy. You could have spoken to the Queen of England. It wouldn't have made any difference. You're not going to do that. And then 2 minutes later, they come back and say, but Daddy, please. And eventually you look at them and you're a gracious daddy and you say, no. And one more word out of you and I will publicly decapitate you. And that's why parents have got brain damage. We know that. There is a sense here in which God, folks, listen to me. There's a sense in which God has constantly said, I forgive, don't do that, won't you follow me, would you take up your word, go that way, do this, all right, I'm listening to, yeah, what is that you need, okay, I'll supply all you need, no, don't you do that to me, you've hurt me, I cannot, but that, and this has just gone on and on and on and on, and the battle of Armageddon is where God suddenly steps up to the plate of all eternity, and he says, that's it, no more, it's over. Number two, eternal time. That's a good reason. It's one that I cannot answer. We don't know all the answers to that. Number three, the wrath of God against sin. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. You and I have spoken about that, but let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. Now, folks, if this doesn't get our attention, then I don't know. And we know that in Revelation chapter 19, we've got described from verse 11, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when does Jesus come for the second time? He comes right there at the final stages of the Battle of Armageddon. So at the end of Revelation chapter 19, God gives us an explanation for what God has done. Well, what is his explanation? Look at verse 15. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, I am the King of Kings, and I alone am the Lord of Lords. Thus, it is written. That's who God is. Yes, the wrath of God against sin. Number four, maybe a fourth reason why he's going to do this is because of the judgment of nations related to their persecution of Israel. Remember in Genesis 12, God came to Abraham, then you have the Abrahamic covenant, and God said, listen, I will curse those who curse you. Well, guess what they've been doing? We find a lot about that in Daniel, don't we? Remember all the way back to some of those princes that came out of Greece. Remember all the things that Daniel taught us about the persecution of the Jews. And here God says, listen, I made a covenant with Israel. I'm going to keep my word. Number five, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. Because all nations are going to be dealt with in this valley according to the word of God. Dr. David Jeremiah, whom I've done two Bible studies with on Bible study cruises, made this statement, and I quote him, "The campaign of God, which is Armageddon, is a visual aid of the wrath of God upon those who have rejected Him. It is a vivid picture of the real spiritual, theological significance of what God thinks of sin." Well, number four, who are the participants? Who's going to participate in this? Well, number one, Bible tells us, we've looked at that, I'm not going to go through it in details, the Ten Kingdom Federation, we know that. The revival of the former Roman Empire brought together by the Antichrist. We've discussed that, the ten horns of Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11. Here in the book of Revelation, the conglomeration, I believe the United States of Europe, even as we speak tonight, there are continuing deep discussions with regard to the United Nations of Europe. Number two, the second group of participants are going to be the Northern Confederation. It always amuses me. Just recently, our president, President Clinton, went to Moscow and met with the new Russian president. Some people believe that when communism was dismantled per se, and that the satellite states and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics was brought, as it were, to her knees, that that was the end of the Russian threat. According to Scripture, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't have time to get into all of this. The Bible even tells us in Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, that the deceitfulness of the nations is going to find its ultimate expression in Gog and Magog. And we know from the Second World War that the Russians were known as the Magogites. They've always been called that. They are called the king or the kings of the north. And that the armies that are going to march down upon Palestine during this time are going to come from the Northern Confederation. Then, of course, Daniel chapter 11 talks about the kings of the east. That is China, the Japanese. It is all the nations that are on the eastern side going out. If you stand upon Masada and you look across to Amman, Jordan, and you'll be looking across to the east. When I was a couple of years ago in China, I went up onto the Gobi Desert, G-O-B-I, the Gobi Desert in northern China and southern Mongolia, and then I flew across the extent of that incredible place. You cannot even begin to imagine the highways that are being constructed, even as we speak today, to transport massive, massive numbers of people literally from the east to the Mediterranean region. Now, you couldn't have said this years ago. They talk about the Silk Route. Even now as we speak, there are highways that are being constructed that are going to make their way through Tibet. One of the reasons the Chinese will not let go of Tibet is because Tibet is part of the gateway to the world. It has nothing to do with the Dalai Lama and his exile and the Tibetan monks and all the traditions. It has to do with a control of the routes to the West. America today is opening up free trade to China and rewarding the Chinese government left and right for their flagrant persecution of Christians and of everything else that goes on. And there are all kinds of alliances that are made between even Republicans and Democrats up in the House of Representatives and the Senate. And as long as the bottom line is in place, it doesn't matter who persecutes what. We're just going to go and make all kinds of alliances to make certain that trade with China remains in place. I believe that we're marching down God's intended purpose for mankind, the kings of the east. A fourth participant is going to be the Lord and His armies. Bible tells us about that. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus warned us about that right throughout His earthly ministry, that He was going to return again, and He was going to return with people like you and me. Now, how do I know that I'm going to be in the Lord's army? Well, not because of anything that I've done. In fact, I don't deserve to be there any more than anyone else. But Jesus said, repent and be converted that your sin may be blotted out. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, whosoever believes in Him will not perish, will not die, but will have everlasting life. And so I decided to take God at His word, because the Spirit of God was pulling me to Himself, convicting me of my sin, of my unrighteousness. And so I confessed my sin, I acknowledged my sin, I repented of my sin, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. God said it, I believe it. Amen? How about you? Now the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that at the trumpet sound, those who are in Christ Jesus will rise. They're going to be caught up in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. And the book of Revelation teaches most clearly and distinctly at every point that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the rider upon the white horse is going to come back, and he's going to land on the Mount of Olives, the same place that he took off and departed at the ascension in Acts chapter 1, and with him are going to be the hosts of men and women and boys and girls who were caught up at the time of the rapture and who died in Christ Jesus before the rapture, and we are going to come back with him as the army of the heavenly host. Am I going to be at Armageddon? Yes, sir. The only difference is I don't think that you and I are going to have to draw a sword or we're going to have to shoot a gun. Now, the NRA might not like that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Brother Charleston might be a little disappointed at this point. Doesn't matter how much practice you've had. But to you, my friends, that the very word of the mouth of God is going to be enough to totally destroy Satan and anybody he thinks he can throw at God. God, by His word, simply speaks. When Jesus stood in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to show our people next week when we are on the Sea of Galilee, how you can look up through the valleys coming down from the northern parts of Syria, how that the winds can come howling through, and sometimes it happens when you're there. And I tell you, then you pray and you say, Lord, I wish you were in the boat right now, how those winds can just suddenly be whipped up on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples were so distraught, they became so nervous, and they woke him up and they said, Master, how can you be sleeping when we're about to die? And Jesus looked up and all he said was, peace be still. And his disciples marveled and said, who is this man that even the winds obey his voice? I don't think I'm going to need an Uzi or a bazooka or even a hand grenade. When we come with God Almighty, my friends, I believe that's all it's going to take.
What a powerful message. Forgive the interruption, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here to pray with you. Keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. We'll connect you with one of us happy to pray 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
And then the fifth participant in the Battle of Armageddon are going to be the nation of Israel. Obviously, it's on their soil. Well, what is the sequence? How's this all going to work out? Number one, the covenant is made. Go back into Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 11. The Bible says that at the time of the rapture, that the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel. Now watch me just for a second here. This is very interesting. All the Christians are taken out of the world. The Antichrist rises up, and he knows that all the nations of the world want to get Israel. So he masterminds according to God's plan. Of course, not his own mastermind, but he's a scheming person. And he makes a covenant with Israel. And he says, don't you worry, rabbis and Jewish people. He said, I'm going to protect you. And when he offers Israel protection, Israel accepts that protection. Now, what happens to them the moment they accept that protection? Well, they become like the United States is today, lulled to sleep. You know, I love our beautiful country. I wouldn't want it any other way, folks. Please don't misunderstand me. But you know, sometimes I think we've become so far removed from conflict and wars that we have cultivated generations of people in America who are lulled into complacency. Couldn't possibly happen to us. Jim, I went to get gas yesterday because I was out of gas. I hate to tell you this, brother. In Spartanburg, I paid $1.70. What is this world coming to? We've been lulled to sleep. But you cannot just say, do you know that $1.70 is still not anywhere near as expensive as most of the rest of the world? But in America, it's the end of the world. I agree. I'm not disagreeing. It's the absolute end of the world. And we pay so much for gas. I mean, what's the world? The problem is that we've had it so good for so long that we've been lulled into complacency. Now, let me tell you what an offshoot of complacency is. It's called apathy. Apathy immediately is a blood brother of complacency. And when apathy sets in, all of a sudden, a people begin to actually believe that nothing can ever go wrong. Now, we're looking at the sequence of Armageddon. The Antichrist makes a treaty with Israel. Israel says, for once, we don't have to worry about our borders. And they become lulled into complacency. Let me show you what happens. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. Something incredible happens here, folks. Ezekiel 38 and verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, I will invade a land, here it is, ready for this, of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and without bars. Talking about the movement of the Antichrist. Talking about the movement of the kings of the north. All of a sudden, here's Israel. We're talking about the sequence of Armageddon. Here Israel is lulled to complacency. All of a sudden, an invasion comes from Russia. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 then tells us that the king of the south then sits up and takes note. And he begins to move from the south and moves against the confederation led by the Antichrist. The northern African powers all of a sudden want to become a part of this. Even today, I believe that some of the northern African countries are just simply sitting there. Libya is a good example. Muammar Gaddafi. Kind of keep themselves out of it. Participate in world terrorism. Wait until there's a chunk of meat that they can fall upon. They wait, they watch, they see all the things that are going on in Palestine between Syria, the death of Hafez al-Assad and the succession of his son, of what's going on in Jordan with the death of King Hussein of Jordan and the succession of his son, what is going on in Egypt with President Mubarak and all the alliances, what is going on in Palestine with the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, with the things that are going on in the Gaza Strip, and some of the northern African countries are sitting there just waiting. And the Bible says that when Israel is lulled into complacency during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, suddenly Russia's going to attack. All of a sudden, the South and the African countries are going to get mobilized. And then the Word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 30, all of a sudden, there is an incredible intervention that takes place. Look at verse 21 of Ezekiel 38. The Bible says, I will summon a sword against Gog, that's Russia, on all my mountains, declares the Sovereign. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him and on his troops and on the many nations. And verse 23 tells us why. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord your God. You beginning to get the picture now? God is showing us who He is. The north and the south are decimated. The Antichrist now moves his armies into Israel. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 and 41, I read that to you a little while ago, the Antichrist claims all the wealth of this territory in the Middle East. He's got everything. Wealthiest man in the world. He's the new Bill Gates, if you please. He's got billions and billions. He can do anything he wants. And just when the Antichrist starts to think that everything is going well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12 that the kings of the East, the Asians and the Chinese, the way which had been prepared for the kings of the East, that they begin to rise up. And I want you to turn very quickly to Revelation chapter 19. Turn there quickly with me. Revelation chapter 19. I beg your pardon, chapter 9. Not chapter 19, Revelation chapter 9. I want to show you something very interesting here. Revelation 9 and verse 16 tells us just how many troops are going to come from the east. Look at verse 16 with me. The Bible says that the number of the mounted troops was 200 million. Now folks, listen. Russia coming down from the north to attack Israel. The southern African or Northern African countries rise up and they move this way. So you've got coming from this side. The Antichrist has already moved in. He's in position because he's got a covenant with Israel. He's quite comfortable there. All of a sudden, the kings of the East begin to rise up, and the Bible says some 200 million troops begin to march into Palestine. So you've got the Russians, you've got the Egyptians, the Northern Africans, the Mediterranean Europeans, and the Chinese and Asians all coming together. And the Bible says they're going to meet headlong in the Valley of Megiddo at the Battle of Armageddon. And right at this point in Revelation chapter 19, turn there quickly with me. Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 11, "And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on it, so that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven," that's me, that's you, "were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword." Did you notice? "Out of his mouth, with the spoken Word of God, with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, 'I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.'" And from verse 17 on, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried with a loud voice, 'Come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty men of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great.' Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, from north, south, and east, and west, and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed miraculous signs on his behalf. With his signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider and on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh, and the blood flowed as high as a horse's bridle and as wide as 200 miles long." And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus, after having set up his 1,000-year reign at the conclusion of Armageddon, that Jesus will set up the new heaven and the new earth. And he will set up the great white throne. And people of all nations and every culture and every persuasion will stand. And whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. The battle of Armageddon. Wow. Wow. The battle to end all battles. Let's stand together. Our Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to go to a cruel Roman cross in order that we might have life. Heavenly Father, we do not deserve your grace. We love you with all of our hearts, and we pray your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name,
amen. And you know, in that same spirit of prayer, would you wait for just one moment? These perhaps could be the most important words from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, today.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If God stirred your heart, give us a call, 866-899-WORD. We'd love to pray with you and for you, or meet us online at tewonline.org. Also a great place to discover resources like this.
What happens the moment you die? Where do you go? Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Dr. Don Wilton looks at these questions and more in The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, a modern retelling of the biblical story of the rich man and Lazarus. This compelling story chronicles the choices and fate of two very different but ordinary men, one very rich, one very poor, and what happened when they both died. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, supporting God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support.
Dr. Wilton, your teachings have been such a blessing to me, and I want to thank you for standing on the truth of God's Word and honoring Jesus Christ. My granddaughter in Florida has recently renewed her life to Jesus, and she's begging me to send her CDs and DVDs from Dr. Don. She works at night and is a college student on tight budget, so I really want to help her stay grounded in the Word. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you, Dr. Wilton, for being a minister that is convicted to preach the whole and absolute truth without hesitation, without reservation, and without apology.
The number again is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at teonline.org.